Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Father, thank you for filling this room with your worship, filling us with your spirit, Lord. God, will you tune our ears to hear your word, and will you give me the words to say that are your words today? And Lord, may everything we do here give you glory. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, good morning, Wellspring. How's everybody? I'm really excited and happy to be standing here in front of you guys today. I know that a lot of you don't recognize my face, but that's okay because I'm one of you. I'm a Wellspringer, part of the family, a volunteer leader here. And you might recognize my wife. She's the hero in my stories today and the cheerleader down on the front row. We've got two sons that we've had over the course of our 46 years of marriage. Their name is Matt and Aaron. We have two grandkids, which is Ashlyn and Camden. And we have been here. We moved into our house 2 years ago in Myrtle Beach this week, actually. And ever since we moved here, you know, we moved in anticipation of coming here. We were here the first Sunday we got back. We've been here every Sunday since then. Because we used to come, when we were on vacation, we would come to Wellspring. And since the very first time we came, you guys made us feel like family. We knew this was where we were going to be because you made us feel like we were part of this team from the very, very beginning. And I appreciate that. Terry's a retired teacher. I'm still coming to terms with the fact that I'm a retired pastor. One of the things that we do is we get to give back to Wellspring as a team now what I did as a pastor for many, many years. And I'm excited and we're excited about being able to do that. Before I get started, could I just take a second to say thank you to the dads and the granddads and the stepdads that are out here for all the time you give, all the investment you make, all the skills that you teach, all the games and concerts you go to, all the dad jokes you tell. Yes, even the dad jokes that you tell. You know, Trey asked me if I would come and tell a little bit about my story and a little bit about what I did in ministry with the passion that drove me. And I thought about, well, how do I go about that? As I was thinking, it got me thinking, you know, you guys have something I need. And I have something that you guys probably need. Every week almost, somebody comes out here at the end of the service and says, we get to give. Now, when I hear that, what I think of is we get from God things that aren't for us to consume or us to use. We get things from God that's for somebody else in our circle to use and to be. And yeah, I'm talking about stuff, but I'm also talking about those unique talents that are yours that nobody else has but they need and you have to give. Or I'm talking about that quirky personality that I might have or you might have that bugs you but is exactly the fit that somebody else needs. Or maybe it's just time that you have that's not to spend on you, but to spend out to other people. My point about that is God didn't create us to be able to succeed in this kingdom alone, that we can't do it alone. Something April said last week in her message, and if you didn't get to hear that message, please, you really got to take a listen to it. You can go back to our app or the website and find that message there. You can find all of our messages there. But in the middle of that, she took us to a scripture. She took us to Galatians and showed us the fruits of the Spirit, right? You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of those. The important thing that she said that really stood out to me was, you and I, we can't do these on our own. We can't do these alone. I mean, I know when it comes to patience, I can't work up enough patience. There's no working up. There's no try harder. If anything, I'm impatient about how I deal with patience. And the point was that we need the Holy Spirit to produce those kind of things in us. We need a supernatural thing to happen with us when we spend time in the presence of God, that we need the presence of God for that to happen, right? Well, I would kind of say it this way. We can't grow to be healthy, fruitful followers of Christ alone. We need the presence of God, like April said, but I'm going to add to that and say we also need each other. Many of you know that most of the things you learned from somebody that was close to you, right? Somebody that was in your crew. We are shaped by the people that we hang out with. I learned to drive from my dad. I learned to fish from my uncle. I learned how to make homemade ice cream and drive a tractor from all my relatives at family reunions. Anybody here do family reunions? I know when I was a kid, they were epic. We would have 100 people out on this farm together. We'd gather at least once a year. There would be amazing food. There would be amazing music. I can still taste my aunt's pickles that we would have from that. My point of all of that is that, again, we can't really do this alone. And that's why over the course of my ministry, no matter what my title was, whether it was associate pastor or executive pastor or consultant to pastors and churches all over the country, the core of what my heart would beat for, what I really loved to do and be a part of, was creating small communities inside of local churches where people learned how to care for each other and learned how to grow in the relationship with God. Because of the 50 years that I have been in the family of God, I learned something. God uses people to grow people. Every time God wanted to get my attention, talk to me, let me know about something, change my path, protect me from something, it almost always was in the context of a group of folks that were in my circle, in church with me. Can I tell you about a couple of those? I had been a believer for about 3 months when Steve and Susie invited me to their small group that was going to meet in the basement of our Baptist church. And we were meeting because we were a bunch of young adults who felt like there is something more to this thing about following Jesus than what we're seeing on Sunday morning. There's more to this, and we want to know what it's about. So we met for 12 weeks. We did a study. We prayed. We got to know each other. And something happened that I can't really explain, something beyond explanation. I think the Holy Spirit filled that place. The Holy Spirit filled us. But after that time, we were different people. All of us knew, looked at each other, knew we were different. So different, we wanted to do it again. We did the same study again, invited some other people to come join us. And when I look back now, I look at that half a year and realize that God used those people and that group and that time to build in me a desire to know Jesus better that's served me and been with me all my life. I could tell you about John and Debbie. A year later, they invited me over for dinner, spaghetti. Now, if you know what young adults will always come for food, right? And so I got there. I wasn't the only one. There were some other young adults there too. We ate, and then we went in the living room. They opened the Bible. We started talking about Jesus and things like that. They asked, do you want to come back next week? We're having food. We all came. 1 week, John opens the Word during that time in his living room. He starts reading from Matthew. I remember that. And he said, today, as I was reading this, God spoke to me and told me something, this about my life, how it applied. And then he looked at me on the couch, eye to eye, and he said, Michael, what has God spoke to you about as you were in his Word and he was talking to you this week? And you could hear the crickets outside, and I don't know what I said, but I do know this. I left that place with a determination that I would always have an answer for that question from now on. And I went home and I got in the Word and I prayed and I got in the Word and I studied and I learned and I look back now. I was in that group till I went to college. And in that group with those people, all of us grew a hunger for God's Word that hasn't left me, that I've chased. Paul, in college, he pulled together all of the guys on our dorm, in fact, everybody on our dorm, and started the 633 Club. Now, that's not the time we met. That was actually Matthew 633. Look it up. It's a cool scripture. But I know that group actually existed to build guardrails for me so that I wouldn't crash and burn during college. If you look over the last years, there have been circles all in my life, people who have been built around me to make those changes and do those things. But I would have to tell you that all my Christian life has not been, all like a Boy Scout and all really good. There's some dark turns. There's some selfish choices that I've made. There's some sins that are built into that, some painful ones, some neglect. Before I was a pastor, I had another career. For over 20 years, I was in the television, audio, video production business. I got to work in some of the best, largest venues as an audio person, mixing live music on television and live like that. I, as a video editor, worked doing commercials for some products that you absolutely have in your home. Got to work with some amazing talent and really amazing people, stars that who you would know as well. I got to be a part of electing two presidents, about a dozen senators and congressmen. I got to work on all kinds of sporting events, anything you can think of. It was fun. It was a good job. I loved going to work every morning. I was pretty good at what I did. In fact, I was good. And people wanted to work with me and asked to work with me. And when that happens, what happens is you start getting busier and busier. And if you push in and look, you're going to find that there are some weeds growing and some thorns growing up and beginning to choke out some of those fruits we were talking about and beginning to choke out that time with Jesus and choke out a bit of the connection to the church. The more it grew, you know, I always said, okay, right after this next project, I'm going to get back in line. I'm going to get back to where I'm supposed to be right after this next, well, I'm going to get a promotion in September. And when that happens, then I'm going to give more time to spending time with the Lord. And I'm going to get back to church. But how many of you know that doesn't really happen that way? But the hero in the story, Terry, she's praying for me. And one night she asks, she says, hey, this couple that we met at our new church, they have a small group and they've asked us to come be a part. Will you come be a part with us? Let's do that. And I was like, I don't know how I can do that. I don't have the time for that. I go to work at 6 in the morning. I come home at 8:30. I get on a plane and go fly and do sporting events during the weekend and get back tired. I don't have an hour that's free. I just can't figure out how we can do that. That's okay. She kept praying. And then one Thursday night, I said, yeah, all right, let's try it. Let's go. Let's go see these people. Let's go to this group. And we did. And you know, the people were pretty good. The group was eh. But I went back with her another week and started talking to some of the guys and found out we've got some stuff in common. And as we talked about that, and all of a sudden I found myself, I was going for them. And then I was going for me. And as, well, here's what happened. God used that group of people to bring me home. To get that ladder I was climbing in the wrong place, back on the right wall, to bring me back to that place with Jesus that I needed to be. And he used it for one of the biggest transitions that was going to ever happen in my life. Because if we move forward 2.5 years, you're going to find that I was in charge of all the small groups in our church. Don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. She prayed we'd be involved in a small group. Now we're involved in more than 100 of them. But you know what? It's the best job there is in church. Because every week, you get to hear stories. Stories from people who are growing in these God-made incubators for life and transformation. So many amazing stories about redemption and rescue. Many stories about people learning how to pray and how to give and how to grow in their relationship with God. I got to do this for years in several different venues, but I loved it. It was the best. But this next part is hard to talk about, hard to tell you because it comes with a bit of shame and a lot of regret, but you know, it's a story that Terry and I tell often in a lot of venues because we realize it's not our story, it's God's story. God's story about grace and redemption. It starts with the worst day in my family's life. It was the day I came home to tell Terry that I had been fired from my job at church because I'd had an affair with one of the other department heads at our church. Guys, husbands, I feel like our biggest, most important responsibility is to protect the hearts of our spouses. But I hadn't just failed at that. I had crushed Terry's heart into dust. Paul tells us in a letter he wrote to the Romans that every time we sin, the outcome is death. Something dies every time. For us, everything died. Our marriage died. The respect my adult sons and my daughter-in-law had for us died. My job died. Friends, those friendships died. Many of them were connected to the church that we're in. Hope died. There was a lot of death. We looked up and it looked like our present and our future was just all ashes. And I had lit the fuse to the bomb that blew up from my sin, my selfish sin. When you look ahead at that, I think of the next several days. I spent those days face down in the carpet in my office at home, praying, asking God, trying to understand how did I do this? How did something like this happen? How did I let it happen? What was in me that let that happen? I prayed, and then I gave up. I surrendered. I quit trying to shape the story, shift the blame, figure out how I could get control of things. I just surrendered. I begged forgiveness, and I waited for God's punishment. Don't get me wrong. This sin cost a lot of things over the next months and years, and still, there's some things that are part of that. And that took a team of counselors and a lot of years to figure out what happened to me that I could have done something like that. And I know that in this room, there's somebody who's been hurt at a church by somebody who's disappointed them like I did. And for that, I apologize. And I know that there's somebody in this room that's at a point where they would say, I'm hopeless right now. That you don't see hope for a future, maybe because of something you did, maybe because of something that was done to you, maybe because of something that's just a circumstance. And for you, I finished the story. Because that day, at the bottom of the barrel, I sensed the presence of Jesus in that room. And I heard from him where he said, get up, come on, now I'm here to rescue you. 2 hours later, there's a knock at the door, and there stands Andy and Steve. And they said, come on, get out of there. We're going somewhere. And I tried to resist, but that wasn't going to happen. They took me out. We walked around. We walked for 2 hours. We prayed. We cried. I probably said foolish things. They listened. We came home. They came back the next day. We did it again. They came back 3 times the next week. Many years later, they told me that those few weeks in the beginning, they were so angry at me. They were so hurt by what I had done, by what I had done to their family, because it rocked their marriage. If it could happen to us, maybe it could happen to them. They were in pain, but they came. And then they came and they brought their wives to be with Terry. And then they got 2 other couples and that we knew, and they came together and formed a restoration team for us. And we met every Wednesday night. And then we prayed, and they asked hard questions, and we talked about marriage, and we studied, and we learned, and together we watched as God began doing what he does, as we watched resurrection come where I had created death. We watched life start happening. We started doing that life together. We learned together how to experience God's grace and God's resurrection. We learned together that you don't put a period where God's put a comma. That sin's not the end with Jesus. That you turn to him and his specialty is resurrections. Life where there's death and hope where it's hopeless. That group met for years. Andy and I and Steve still meet every Tuesday morning, even though now we live hundreds of miles apart. We know each other's weak spots and we protect them. We know we are free to confess anything, ask anything, challenge any behavior. Steve texted me this morning to say he was praying for me. Folks, these are my people. And I need them. And men, women, but men, fathers, if we're going to survive, if we're going to succeed, if we're going to grow, we need this too. We all do. God has always used people around us, community, when he's ready to change our directions, when he's ready to correct a path, when he's ready to teach us something new, and in my case, when he's ready to rescue you from yourself. Paul wrote a letter to one of his circle, Titus. And in that letter, he said, Jesus gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us. Thank you, Jesus. And to make us his very own people. Jesus is my people, and I need to be with him every day. But so is Andy and Steve, and Hope and Dave, and Bill and Susan, and a number of other people that I need to keep close. For where there is two or three gathered in my name, Jesus said, I'm there in the midst of them. Do you know what this means? This is, I think, one of the greatest promises Jesus gave us. This means in your living room, in your apartment, in that restaurant where your community group meets, Jesus is there. And where Jesus is, there's power. Where Jesus is, there's hope. Where Jesus is, there's healing for broken hearts and wounded souls and sinful paths, pasts. We need more than the Bible for us to grow. We need to spend time in God's presence, and we need each other, because it's in that small group community that you can learn to love and practice it on some people who are going to be okay with you when you fail at it. It's in that group that we're going to learn how to accept love, right? God uses his people to grow his people. Jesus modeled it. He started his whole ministry, put 12 guys together and did all of his ministry together with them. I think he did it because he knew they were going to need it for what was about to come, for to help them grow. But I also personally think he did it because he needed it for what was about to come. And he needed some folks around him. Jesus modeled it. His church is built on it. At the beginning, on the very first Sunday, on the very first day of the church, when the Holy Spirit fell down, filled them up, and 3,000 people came to know Jesus that day, they said, what do we do? Do you know what they did? Put them in small groups. We see it in Acts 2. They worshiped together in the temple. Each day met in homes for the Lord's Supper. Fast forward a few months. We see it again in Acts 5. Every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message that Jesus is the Messiah. Large group worship. Small group fellowship, temple courts, house to house, large group worship, small group care. That was how the church was founded. And it met that way for years until persecution came along and they had to stop having the large group. So for 300 years, the church met in small communities, in houses, and anywhere they could, all around the towns and around the Mediterranean, and grew the fastest the church has ever grown in that environment. And you ask, so how do we do it? What do we do in there? Well, 58 times in the New Testament, Jesus and Paul, Peter and James, they told us how we do this, how we're to interact with each other, how the way we care for each other would be how folks would know we belong to him, how that would actually be the thing that would attract them to want them to come be a part of us. We call these things one another's. Almost none of them can be done in a row on Sunday morning. That's why one of the core values here at Wellspring is we believe circles are better than rows. Because we know that we need circles where we can practice what we're learning. We need circles where somebody can model it for us and we can learn this from each other. So let me ask you this. Where are your people? Who are your people? Who are the people that you know and are going to know you? The people that you're going to call when they don't come show up. The people that you're going to know their secrets and their failures, but you're going to protect that. The people you'll pick up when they stumble and celebrate when they succeed. And who'll do the same for you. Maybe you got that group already. Maybe you would say, I know these people. I can tell you their names, what they're doing. And for that, I say, great. And I give you this charge. Over the next few weeks, how about decide to go a little further into the deep end, be a little more vulnerable, share with them a little more about you, tell them something they don't know, and ask them how they're doing, how they're really doing. And don't take fine as an answer. And if you're there and you're saying, I don't have those people. We don't. I don't know where to find those people. That's okay. We're here to help. Over the last several months, Terry Hill, our new Next Steps pastor, and us, we have been working together to create some on-ramps to small groups so that you can get in. We can create the small groups. You have to create the community in those groups as it happens. Today, we got something special for you that's happening out in the lobby at the big table out there. Our groups who are existing now meeting all over the community, some of them have said, we've got openings. We've got open seats. We'd love to have you come be a part of that and join us. And you can go right after we're done out to the lobby and you can learn what kind of group it is and when they meet and where they meet. And you can actually meet some of the leaders of those groups. They'll help you. They'll guide you. They'll get you into the right group. And I would tell you that I think those slots are going to fill up fast. So don't wait. Go out there and sign up for one of those groups today. We also do something called Circle Up. Circle Up meets here to start brand new community groups. We meet for 3 weeks. We learn what it looks like to be a healthy group. Then we launch off into somebody's house for a month, and we practice, and we give it a try. It's kind of like a test drive. If it works, then you go on, you're a community group after that. We do semester groups twice a year, where we come together, it's a Bible study. We're studying specific things to learn specific things, but we do it in the context of circles, where you can stick your toe in again and test out what community might look like, and if it's working and that group works, we'll help you become a community group. And on Sunday mornings, we do Starting Point. Out in the blue room, during this service, Starting Point is for anybody and everybody who's curious, who wants to ask questions about the Bible, about Jesus, about faith. You might have been here for a long time and been a believer for a long time. You might have just started at Wellspring this week and you're new to this faith thing. It's a community where you can come along, you can ask those questions. It's a safe place. We just get to meet some new people and explore who Jesus is together. Listen, you might be sitting here going, okay, I've done that small group thing. I tried it. It didn't work. Those people were crazy. I didn't fit. Something was wrong. Well, let me tell you, this is as important as your food is to your body, this is to your soul. I bet I could tell you for sure you've had a bad meal. In fact, you probably had a meal where it made you sick for a couple of days. And I can also guess pretty accurately that after we're done today and church is over, you're going to go have lunch. You haven't stopped eating because of that bad meal. This is that important. You keep at it. You be persistent. You go until you find your people, that group, the right fit, the one that's for you. Listen, folks, this is our time to grow our faith roots deeper. This is the day to add circles to our rows. This is the day to start our journey to find our people. Let's pray. Father, give us courage. Courage to come to you when we mess up, because we know your grace is bigger than anything that could possibly happen, that we could possibly do, that your grace will cover it. Thank you, Lord, that you walk with us and you chase us. You chase after us until we turn around and chase after you. God, give us the courage to take a step into something that's probably kind of uncomfortable because we want to chase after you. Help us to take that risk today. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.